ಪುಷ್ಕರಣಾಭಯಾಸ್ಪೃಷ್ಟದೇಹಪ್ರದಕ್ಷ ಕುರ್ವಂತಿದತ್ರಯಾನುಕಂಪಯಾ ಕೃಪಾಂ ನ ಸಾಧವೋ ದೈವ ಬಲಾತ್ ಕೃತೇ ಕ್ರಮಂ ಯಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಯದಾ ಪುಷ್ಕರಣಾಪಮಾಯಯಾ ದುರಂದಯಾ ಸ್ಪಷ್ಟದೇಹ ಪೃಥಕ್ಕೃಶಃ ಕುರ್ವಂತಿ ತತ್ರೈ ಅನುಕಂಪಯಾ ಕೃಪಾಂ ನ ಸಾಧವೋ ದೈವ ಬಲಾತ್ ಕೃತೇ ಕ್ರಮಂ ಯಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಯದಾ ಪುಷ್ಕರಣಾಪಮಾಯಯಾ ದುರಂತಯಾ ಸ್ಪೃಷ್ಟದೇಹ ಪೃಥಕ್ಕೃಶಃ ಕುರ್ವಂತಿ ತತ್ರೈ ಅನುಕಂಪಯಾ ಕೃಪಾಂ ನ ಸಾಧವೋ ದೈವ ಬಲಾತ್ ಕೃತೇ ಕ್ರಮಂ ಯಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಯದಾ ಪುಷ್ಕರಣಾಪಮಾಯಯಾ ದುರಂತಯಾ ಸ್ಪೃಷ್ಟದೇಹ ಪೃಥಕ್ಕೃಶಃ ಕುರ್ವಂತಿ ತತ್ರೈ ಅನುಕಂಪಯಾ ಕೃಪಾಂ ನ ಸಾಧವೋ ದೈವ ಬಲಾತ್ ಕೃತೇ ಕ್ರಮಂ
Yasmin.
Yasmin.
In some place.
In some place.
Yada.
Yada.
When.
When.
Pushkaranabhamayaya.
Pushkaranabhamayaya.
By the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
By the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Durantaya.
Durantaya.
Insurmountable.
Insurmountable.
Sprishtadiyya.
Sprishtadiyya.
Bewildered.
Bewildered.
Pratakdrisha.
Pratakdrisha.
The same persons who see differently.
The same person who sees
Kurvanti,
Kurvanti,
Tu, Tatra,
Tatra,
There,
Then,
He,
Certainly,
Certainly, Anukampaya,
Anukampaya,
Out of Compassion,
Out of Compassion,
Kripam,
Kripam,
Mercy,
Mercy,
Na,
Na,
Never,
Never,
Sadhava,
Sadhava,
Saintly Persons,
Saintly Persons,
Daiva Bala,
Daiva Bala,
By Providence,
By Providence,
Krute,
Krute,
Being Done,
Being Done,
Kramam,
Kramam,
Prowess,
Prowess.
Translation, my dear Lord, if in some places materialists who are already bewildered by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Godhead sometimes commit offenses, a saintly person with compassion does not take this seriously. Knowing that they commit offenses because they are overpowered by the illusory energy, he does not show us prowess to comprehend them. Purport is said that the beauty of a tapasya or saintly person is forgiveness. There are many instances in spiritual history of the world in which many saintly persons, although unnecessarily harassed, did not take action, although they could have done so. Pariksit Maharaj, for example, was unnecessarily cursed by a Brahmin boy. And this was very much regretted by the boy's father. But Pariksit Maharaj accepted the curse and agreed to die within a week, as the Brahmin boy desired. Pariksit Maharaj was an emperor and was full in power, both spiritually and materially, but out of compassion, out of respect for the Brahmana, community did not counteract the action of the Brahmin boy, but agreed to die within 7 days. Because it was desired by Krishna, the Pariksit Maharaj agreed to the punishment so the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam would thus be revealed to the world. Pariksit Maharaj was advised not to take action. The Vaishnava is personally tolerant for the benefit of others. When he does not show his prowess, this does not mean that he is lacking in strength. It rather indicates that he is tolerant for the welfare of the entire society. My dear Lord, you are never bewildered by the formidable influence of the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you are omniscient and should be merciful and compassionate towards those who are bewildered by the same illusory energy and are very much attached to fruitful activities. Purport, a Vaishnava is never bewildered by the influence of the external energy because he is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, Daivyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Durakaya Mami Vayapa Pajati Maya Meta Pranati. My divine energy, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. A Vaishnava should take care of those who are bewildered by this Maya instead of becoming angry with them, because without a Vaishnava's mercy, they have no way to get out of the clutches of Maya. Those who have been condemned by Maya are rescued by the mercy of devotees. One should talk with the Rupa Chakri for Sindhuja Evacha, Patanam Pramani Jo Vaishnava Yoda Monamaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They are just like desire to be supreme. The desires of everyone, and they are full of compassion for all conditioned souls. Those who are under the influence of the illusory energy are attracted to rudra activities, but a Vaishnava preacher attracts their hearts to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. My Lord, dear Lord Shiva, you are a shareholder of a portion of the sacrifice, and you are the giver of the result. The bad priests did not deliver your share, and therefore you destroyed everything, and the sacrifice remains unfinished. Now you can do the needful and take your rightful share. My dear Lord, by your mercy, the performer of the sacrifice, King Daksha, may get back his life. Bhaga may get back his eyes, Bhrigu his mustache, and Kusha his teeth. O Lord Shiva, may the demigods and the priests whose limbs have been broken by your soldiers recover from the injuries by your grace. O destroyer of the sacrifice, please take your share, portion of the sacrifice and let the sacrifice be completed by your grace. Report, a sacrifice is ceremony performed to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, it stated that everyone should try to understand whether the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied by his activity. In other words, the aim of our activity should be to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as in an office, it is the duty of the worker to see the proprietor or the master is satisfied, so everyone's duty is to see whether the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied by one's activity. Activities to satisfy the Supreme Godhead are prescribed in the Vedic literature, and institutions of such activities are called yajna. In other words, acting on behalf of the Supreme Lord is called yajna. One should know very well that any activity besides yajna is the cause of material bondage. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita, yajna kamano yajna. Kamabandhana means that if we do not work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, then the reaction of our work will bind us. One should not work for his own sense gratification. Everyone should work for the satisfaction of God. That is called yajna. After the yajna was performed by Daksha, all the demigods expected prasad, remembrance of foodstuffs, offered to Vishnu. Lord Shiva is one of the demigods. Naturally, he also expected to share the prasad from the yajna. But Daksha was envy of Lord Shiva, neither invited Shiva to participate in the yajna, nor gave him his share after the offering. But after the destruction of the yajna arena by the followers of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma pacified him and assured him that he would get a share of prasad. Thus, he was requested to rectify whatever destruction was caused by his followers. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that all the demigods are satisfied with one performs yajna. If the demigod expects prasad from yajna, so yajna must be performed. Those who engage in sense gratificatory materialist activities must perform yajna, otherwise they will be implicated. Thus, Daksha, being the father of mankind, was performing yajna, and Shiva expected to share. But since Shiva was not invited, there was trouble. By the mediation of Lord Brahma, however, everything was settled satisfactorily. The performance of yajna is a very difficult task, because all the demigods must be invited to participate in the yajna. In this Kali Yuga, it is not possible to perform such costly sacrifices, nor is it possible to invite the demigods to participate. Therefore, in this age, it is recommended yajyait sankirtana prayaya jatihi sumer saha. Those who are intelligent should know that in Kali Yuga, there is no possibility of performing Vedic sacrifices. But unless one pleases the demigods, there will be no regulated seasonal activities or rainfall. Everything is controlled by the demigods. Under the circumstances in this age, in order to keep the balance of social peace and prosperity, all intelligent men should execute the forms of Sankirtan Yajna by chanting holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One should invite people to chant Hare Krishna and then receive a prasad. This yajna will satisfy all the demigods, and that there will be peace and prosperity in the world. A Another difficulty in performing the Vedic rituals is that if one fails to satisfy one demigod out of the many hundreds of thousands of demigods, this is Daksha failed to satisfy Lord Shiva, there will be disaster. But in this age, the performance of sacrifice has been simplified. One can chant Hare Krishna, and by pleasing Krishna, one can satisfy all the demigods automatically. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 4th canto, 6th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam tells that Brahma satisfies Shiva. My dear Lord, if in some places materialists who are already bewildered by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme God have sometimes committed offenses, a saintly person with compassion does not take this seriously. Neither do they commit offenses because they are overpowered by the illusory energy. He does not show his prowess to counteract them. So this is Brahma speaking to pacify Lord Shiva. And first he praised him as being supreme, as if he were the supreme Lord Vishnu, the creator and destroyer, etc. So now he's getting to the actual point of his coming there, and that is, he is trying to pacify Lord Shiva and have the sacrifices continued. And of course, in doing so, then Daksha has to be restored, and the other Brahmins also have to be restored to life again. So this is what he's requesting. He makes this request by telling Lord Shiva that he has to show compassion because the people of this material world are covered by ignorance. Therefore, he says, you, the real sadhu or the real saintly person, he has to actually show compassion to these people. So this is attitude of the Vaishnava. Though everyone is in ignorance, the Vaishnava understands that the only way to help these people is to give them proper knowledge so they can get out of ignorance. So to do that, he must put forth some effort of some sort. In the process, sometimes the ignorant people also rebel. They don't want this type of information or knowledge. Nevertheless, the saintly people persist. So we see the example of Prahlad. The teachers and his father, they didn't want him to distribute knowledge of Vishnu. Therefore, his father tried to kill him many times because of the way he spoke to the other children. So the Vaishnava was always trying to propagate information about the Supreme Lord. The materialists sometimes may counteract in this way by causing violence to the devotees, etc. Nevertheless, the devotees persist in their activities out of compassion for the people of the material world. So that compassion is a reflection of the Lord's compassion. The Lord is full of all wonderful qualities, and his greatest quality is his affection for his devotees. So the devotees, when they develop bhakti, they also develop qualities like the Supreme Lord. They get good qualities. This is included in the description of Subhada, the second characteristic of bhakti. Subhada means to give auspiciousness. So the performance of bhakti manifests in the devotee all sorts of wonderful qualities. So the devotee does not have to cultivate good qualities as such as one does in the material world. In school, they have some classes called ethics and whatever, and moral classes, and they teach you not to steal and cheat and lie, etc. in school. So they cultivate that type of conduct. But simply by performing bhakti, all good qualities will develop. So there's no extra endeavor for doing all these different things. So that means that all wonderful qualities develop in the devotee. However, these are not the material qualities of this world. The Lord does not have material qualities, he has spiritual qualities. So if the Lord has qualities, we should not equate those qualities with material qualities. They're similar, but they are all spiritual. Similarly, the devotee develops qualities, but he's not developing good qualities in the material world. Otherwise, he's in the gunas. So the purpose is not to develop gunas by bhakti, but go beyond the gunas. So if the devotee develops compassion and tolerance, etc., then we shouldn't think these are material qualities he's developed. Otherwise, they're a cause of bondage. But we know that meditation on the qualities of the Lord is the cause of liberation. So by thinking of the Supreme Lord, meditating on the Supreme Lord, the devotee develops similar qualities as the Supreme Lord, that is, spiritual qualities. So as I said, the main quality of the Supreme Lord, the significant quality, is his affection for the devotees, very compassionate affection towards the devotees. Of course, we shouldn't say that the Lord is not compassionate and affectionate towards the asuras also. Yes, he is. When he shows extra compassion towards the devotees. Anyway, the Lord is compassionate to everyone. And therefore, he even, in some cases, gives kripa to persons like Putana, who don't deserve anything. Yet he will give mercy to them also. So, the Lord is very compassionate. And then the devotees also develop this compassion. So just as the Lord likes to give up mercy to the people in the material world and the spiritual world, so the devotees like to give up mercy also. So it is natural with the development of bhakti that this compassion will manifest in the devotee. He wants to also help everybody in the material world. So this compassion is a little different from material compassion. So material compassion consists of helping people materially. That is, you give food and water and clothing and education and whatever. This is part of the punyas in Sattva-gun. It is part of karma yoga to do punyas. There's nothing wrong with that, of course, because by doing so, one gets elevated to Sattva-gun. And as far as material world is Sattva-gun is better than Rajagun and Tamagun, and it creates stability. So, the Varnashram system cultivates Sattva-gun qualities in people and encourages everyone to gradually develop these qualities. And this will stabilize society. But these are material results. They give material benefits and material results to the people that were doing charity for. And it also gives material results to the person who gives. So he gets bound up in the material world because of that. So by doing charities, you can go to Svargaloka, Brahmaloka and get another material body. And you can't escape that. You have to do that. You have to get that body. So you cannot get out of the material world. You have to stay in the material world because of those particular activities. So they are binding activities, and their effect is material on the persons to whom we are giving the charity or whatever. So that is what material compassion is. So it is better than nothing, but still it is not the best thing. So, therefore, we should not be compassionate, we should be indifferent to everything in the material world. So this is what is cultivated in jnana, become indifferent. Do not rejoice, and do not lament. However, if you look closely, even in jnana, that rejoicing and lamentation is for oneself. At the same time, it says that one should consider the happiness and distress of others as one's own happiness and distress. So in other words, one does not become completely indifferent to everybody else. As far as one's own happiness and distress, one becomes indifferent. As far as others, one should show compassion. That again is sattva. In jnana. So the devotee also should show compassion as the Lord shows compassion. How is this different? So yes, it is trying to help the people of the material world. The difference is that the compassion of the Lord and the devotee aims not to keep the person in the material world in bondage,
but to get the person out of the material world, out of bondage. Therefore, the processes of jnana and yoga and bhakti are there to take the person out. These are propagated by the Lord to deliver the people out of the material world. So this is one way in which the Lord shows compassion for people of the world. As for the other things like charities, etc., giving, etc., he arranges that by giving a system in karma yoga by which they can live happily in the material world. That's how he is merciful in the material way to the people. But even then, the goal is spiritual. Out of that, they get the sattva. When they get the sattva, then they should get out of the material world. So even in the material system, there's a loophole to get out. Yeah? So therefore, you have artha, dharma, kama, and moksha. So the Lord is compassionate towards the jivas, and the goal is not to stay in the material world, but to get out of the material world. So usually people in the material world show compassion. It doesn't lead anywhere but in the material world, even though it may be sattvic. It does not lead out of the material world. So the Lord makes arrangements to go beyond that, get out of the material world completely. So his compassion gives permanent results for the jiva. So the devotee also will show that similar kind of compassion. And instead of concentrating on the bodily needs, he will concentrate on the spiritual needs and give spiritual knowledge and education and devotion to the people at large. So that is how the compassion of the devotee is manifested in the material world. Brahma is telling Shiva to be compassionate to these people that make mistakes like Daksha and others because they are ignorant. This actually is not the highest compassion because Daksha is involved in karmas. But this whole process is part of Dharma, and Dharma is what is established by the Manus and the kings of the world, the dynasties. So it plays a role also. Though this is not the highest process, he's not telling Shiva to preach to Daksha and make him a devotee. He's just to restore him so he can do his sacrifices properly. So, keep the karma yoga system intact. In other words, don't destroy that system because people make mistakes. So you restore that system to its proper order. How is that beneficial? Because, as I said, at least the karma yoga system has its goal to go higher. It brings you to sattva and allows you to go out of the material world. So it is one step for the people in a lower position. So it is compassion, though it is a little indirect, because it is directed towards karma yoga rather than to bhakti or jnana or yoga. As long as we're influenced by the modes, we cannot get out. So the whole process of liberation means you have to transcend the gunas. You have to transcend matter, transcend karma. Karma, basically the gunas bind you into karma again on different levels. So sattva gun, you get bound up by sattva gun, and you come back in a sattva gun body again. And tamagun, you end up in tamagun, etc. So karma keeps you in the material world. And a guna is one of the means of doing that in different ways. So one has to become free from it. Through karma, of course, he does deal with gunas. Karma yoga is gunas. But that's how I say it's indirect process. It's not the best process because it's indirect. He's just raising you up in the gunas and tamagun sattva, that's all. So still gunas. So therefore Krishna says, Nistra gunya bhava arjuna, rise above the gunas also. So go beyond the karma yoga process.
Lord Shiva was somebody that he was a nice Vaishnava. Surprising that he needs to be preached by Brahma. be perfected.
Yeah, as I said, this ultimately is this Leela of sorts, because Shiva is actually superior to Brahma. He's actually superior. But by etiquette, he of course is the son of Brahma also, because it came out of his eyebrows or whatever in this particular pastime. But actually, he's superior.
Sometimes we understand this way, that even a person who has come to the highest platform, he sometimes makes mistakes and he needs others' help to.
Well, Shiva is Supreme Lord, so how can he be made mistakes? That's another problem. Cannot. Brahma can if he's a Jiva. But even Brahma is the head of our Sampradaya, so we don't expect him to make mistakes. He's the manifestor of the four verses of the Bhagavad, the exception, so we don't expect him to make mistakes either.
Yeah.
These all develop if bhakti develops, not separately. In other words, we do not try to become honest and then do bhakti. Honesty and compassion and wisdom and whatever are called, gravity, etc., these qualities which are part of the devotee, tolerance, etc., they will develop. Bhakti develops. If we have all the qualities and don't have bhakti, it's a failure. Sattva quality only. So some people have all good qualities, but they don't have any bhakti. What is that? Sattva qualities only. So it's good because it's sattva, but it's ultimately a loss. So that is why Bhagavatam says, if you practice dharma and you're most successful in dharma, but you don't have any bhakti, useless, failure. So you come to the highest position in terms of dharma and karma, etc., and there's no bhakti, and it's all useless.
My certain qualities seem to be essential, like quality of one being sincere and spiritual.
Yeah.
And being having a sense of integrity when conducting himself and spiritual.
Yeah. So these are spiritual qualities, not material qualities. In other words, the things related to bhakti, which are favorable for bhakti, are not material things. They're spiritual.
Being compassionate and being charity is talking about Satya Guru.
Huh?
Why again and again Bhagavatam keeps telling this? It's a deep offer, it's more than just practicing. Because already we're having this quality. We're not doing bhakti to get all this. The only byproduct of bhakti to get all this is good qualities.
Now, if one is a devotee, then to some degree he will show the qualities. So Shiva, of course, is best devotee, so he obviously should have those qualities already. And those who don't manifest the qualities as devotees, then it means they're in a lesser state, obviously.
Can go beyond the
not touch, no.
Yet the demigods also
have demigods have material bodies, so they are in the mode sattva.
The topmost demigod,
Brahma, also. He's
also
touched. Well, Shiva, if he's Supreme Lord, then he's untouched, but he appears to be touched. But he's actually, if he's Supreme Lord, then he's not Jiva, so he cannot be touched.
But then, you know, Kartikeya was born also. Kartikeya is his eldest son.
Yeah. Oh, but those persons, yeah, the Ganesh and Kartikeya, material bodies, the devatas. So in the gunas again. But Shiva now is beyond the gunas.
But Shiva is the topmost devotee in the material world.
Huh?
Not Shiva is the topmost.
Yeah, he's playing the role of a devotee, but he's also the Supreme Lord. He is not a Jiva. Yeah. So when we talk about Shiva as the best devotee, that's a relative term. There's so many other devotees in the spiritual world that higher up, in one sense, than Shiva. Devatas. Well, less. Anybody in the material world can make mistakes. Possible. So no one is exempt as Jivas. in the material world, because they're all influenced to some degree by the gunas. Because they're in sattva gun and they're higher than us, then they make less mistakes. But they can make mistakes. They're not exempt.
The goodness alone cannot deliver them back to God.
Huh?
The goodness.
Goodness, no. Goodness is material. It will not get you back to God.
You still stay in the material world.
No. Go to Brahmaloka, Svargaloka.
Maharaj, how do we understand this charity for devotees? Because usually when we go and, you know, there are beggars and there are other destitutes. Usually beggars, you know, they fester and, you know,
Or maybe a problem with that. Because what do they do with the money?
After getting money from me, I'm sitting and smoking right in front of me.
So, charity in that way is opposite.
Beggar can give another beggar. You have to beg for the guru.
Of course, begging or giving charity means give to the proper person at the proper time and the proper place. That is sattva.
Knowledge and practice, how is it related? One may have all the knowledge of the sattva, that big guru and other.
Well, the two things have to go together. They have, in other words, knowledge is not separate from practice. That is why the Vedas were not given to unqualified people, because they wouldn't know how to use it properly. So knowledge is one thing, but to use it properly is another thing. So therefore, the knowledge itself alone is not useful.
Nirantarasya shabdavaham ki jai, yavadvamaha ki jai, yavadvamaha ki jai, yavadvamaha ki jai, yukhamaha ki jai, jai. Thank you.